Thank you. We wanted to welcome you all to the afternoon side for fall 2009. My name is Luke Alley. I am the area director for sports. We want to thank everybody who has helped in putting this together and thank all of you for coming. We want to recognize on the stand Brother Fay, who will be addressing us. He's the managing director of activities and also the directors of the sports program and activities. We're going to start off the afternoon side by talking a little bit about the guiding principles. We're going to have five students share their experiences with the guiding principles. Each student will share about a different principle. To start that off, I'm going to introduce the guiding principles a little bit. In the Learning by Faith manual, it says, quote, "On June 21st, 2000, President Gordon B. Hinckley and the First Presidency announced that BYU-Idaho will phase out its involvement in intercollegiate athletics and shift its emphasis to a year-round activity program designed to involve and meet the needs of a diverse student body. Because of the creation of the activities program, more students than ever before have been blessed to learn valuable lessons in leadership and service. Creating the right opportunities for those you lead will help them to learn by faith." Close quote. In preparation for the activities program, a committee was formed to develop the foundational principles that would guide the new program. From that committee came the guiding principles. Since the implementation of the activities program in fall 2002, the guiding principles have been used for leading and growing students. They are: a wide range of activities will meet the diverse interests and abilities of students. Students are the participants and not the spectators. Students choose their own level of participation. Participants will have an opportunity to act and not be acted upon. And participants will develop personal and spiritual qualities that will prepare them for life. Activities was one of the first programs on campus that was student-led, and it continues that model today. All of you can be leaders in the different sports in which you participate. As you listen to the experiences these five athletes have had in using and recognizing the guiding principles, we would invite you to think about how you can use and recognize the guiding principles in your sport. We'll continue with the five experiences. We'll start with Sean Mayo, then we'll have Andrew Bell, then Leanne Harvey, Andrew Sturgis, and Bill Henson. After them, after they share their experiences, we'll have a rest hymn 85, How Firm a Foundation.
Hey, the principle I'm gonna be talking about for a minute or two is how we choose our own level of participation. And when I was thinking about this, I kind of thought about it in two ways. One, how we choose to participate in sports a lot depending on how much time we have to dedicate to the sport, whether we can only spend that one night a week doing rec sports or if we're practicing two or three times a week and going to games on the weekends or whatever it may be that we do in competitive sports. We're putting the time into it that we want to, and then we're going to get more out of it depending on what we put in. But the second part that I thought about was a little bit more important to me, was that we get out of it what we put in on a personal level, as far as, you know, if we're on a competitive team, how much do we put into our practice time? Are we running our hardest? Are we trying to help our teammates? Are we trying to develop relationships with our teammates and develop those friendships? Or are we just going just to play the sport? Are we going in mind thinking that we can gain something more than just athletic activity? Because I think that's a big part of the program here, is that there is more than just athletics involved with the sports program, but it really is developing our character, our team unity skills, our relationship building skills, and things like that. And so the thought I had was that we really do get out as much as we put in. You know, if we're going to practice early, or if we're practicing on our own time away from the rest of our team, whatever we do on our own time, we're going to get more out of it. And so that's just what I wanted to say, is that we really do choose the own level of our participation on an individual basis and on a team basis.
For my principle to act rather than to be acted upon, I started out in the rec sports as a captain of a team. The things that were going on in rec sports got me pretty upset with the program. So instead of having them act upon me, I took the initiative to act. I started volunteering. I started working my way through and making changes. So that way, a future participants wouldn't have the same problems I faced. And that is such a blessing of the sports program, is it allows us in our sports or in our responsibilities to take that initiative, to act, to make changes, to better the program that we are in for future generations. And it's just, it is a great thing, and I've seen the blessings in my life.
My guiding principle was a wide range of activities will meet the diverse abilities and interests of all students. And I love this guiding principle because all students can benefit from the activities program, specifically the sports activities program. In high school, I was involved in a lot of sports. I played volleyball, basketball, cross country, and track. And as I was coming to college, I'm like, oh man, I want to do all of them. And at this university, I am able to. And so I've participated in various activities here, and I've enjoyed my experiences playing on various teams competitively and and recreationally. And BYU-Idaho Activities Program does succeed at meeting the diverse interests and abilities of all students.
My guiding principle is students are the participants and not the spectators. And this is one of my favorites because each one of us here is a participant in a sport, and we each get playing time, and I think that is so neat and very unique to this university. Over my time here at BYU-Idaho in the activities program, I've been really involved with the swimming program. And in the swimming program, I have learned so many things that I only could get here. I participated as a participant, as a swimmer. I participated as a coach, a coordinator, and also as a director. And as participating in these different things, I've gained many qualities and attributes that will help not only at this time in my life, but in the future. I'm so grateful for this activities program, especially the sports program, and for the many things that I've learned, for the blessings that I've received because of my participation in this program.
The quality that I was given was how the programs and the activities here at BYU-Idaho can help us grow spiritually and help us better be prepared for life. And as soon as I thought about this, I had to think of last semester as one of my roommates. He was going through a hard time. He was about 21, and he had never served a mission, and he had to make some tough life changes, and he decided to come here to BYU-Idaho. And he lost a lot of credits, and it was a really tough decision for him. When he came here, he was playing soccer, and he played a lot of rec sports, and he came home one day, and he looked me in the eye and he said, something crazy happened at the soccer field today. And immediately I was thinking, well, was there something bloody? Was there a big kick? And he looked at me and he was just like, no, nothing like that. And he said, I didn't get angry. And when he said that, I kind of got taken back and I had to think about what he meant. And he said, I wasn't angry. I wasn't yelling. I wasn't swearing. He said that we started with a prayer. We ended with a prayer. And he said, I just felt happy. And when I thought about that, I was like, wow, this kid is really getting on track. And I thought about BYU-Idaho and all the sports programs that we have here. And we have the chances to be coaches, leaders, coordinators, directors. And we learn how to deal with certain situations. We learn how to grow. We learn how to become more spiritual. And my roommate was literally a complete example of that, because next Wednesday he'll be driving to Utah and he'll be entering the MTC. And 2 months after that, right before Christmas, he'll be heading to the Czech Republic to serve the Lord for 2 years. So I just want to say that I know these things are true, and I know my roommate's doing the right thing, and the programs here at BYU-Idaho are special, and they're going to help us grow and be better prepared for life.
We'll now be pleased to hear from Brother Fay. To introduce Brother Fay, real quick, Brother Fay is currently the Managing Director of Student Activities and Events here at BYU-Idaho. Since he came to BYU-Idaho 5.5 years ago, he has served as an advisor over various programs within the Activities Program. Before coming to BYU Idaho, he was a senior account executive for a public relations firm in Utah, doing media relations for various technology companies. Brother Fay graduated from BYU in Provo with a degree in communications. He has served in various callings in the church, including young men's president, counselor in the bishopric, elders' quorum secretary, and my favorite, sharing time guy in primary. Brother Fay served his mission in Corpus Christi, Texas. He and his wife, Stephanie, are the parents of four children, one daughter, and three sons. And after we hear from Brother Fay, we'll have a closing hymn, hymn 58, Come Ye Children of the Lord, and Adam Barr will give our closing prayer. Brother Fay.
Thank you, Luke. I am really excited about the opportunity to speak to you. You look great. As I was sitting there on the stand, I just had the impression if the Savior were here, he would look at you and turn to me and say, these are my sons and my daughters. In fact, you might say it the other way around. He'd start with the best and go to the last and say, my daughters and my sons. Thank you for being here. And I hope that the time you spend here with me briefly this afternoon is time well spent. I'd like to explain my role. You're probably wondering who I am and why I would have anything of significance to say to you. I get to oversee, it's my privilege and my blessing to oversee the activities program and student spirit events. And that includes all of the areas of activities and the new student orientation program called Get Connected, Spirit Week, the newly created Parents Weekend, and when I came to BYU Idaho, it was the single thing that drove me to come here was the opportunity to work with students, to teach and to learn with students. As Luke mentioned, I've got four children. My wife's here today, and I'm glad for her support. She and I have four children, and I was talking to one of my little boys a few weeks ago, and I told him that I'd get to come here and talk to you. And I said, Calvin, I get to speak to the students that are playing sports in our program. What should I tell them? And he furrowed his brow and he said, it's important to tell them that they need to know where the ball is. And I don't think he was considering the wrestlers, the spirit team, or the swim team. He's not as experienced yet. But so I'm here today to tell you where the ball is. In other words, to respond to a request from Luke. Luke had asked me to share with you what is the future of sports at BYU Idaho, and particularly with regard to what's happening with the growth at the university. And so I think I'd like to do that, and I didn't ask his permission, but I'd also like to take his idea and switch some of those ideas and speak about your future and what the sports program has to do with your growth. I've got some slides I want to share with you just as context of what's happening here at BYU Idaho. These slides show some data. But before I show you some data, I'd like to ask a question. How many of you are the first in your family to come to BYU Idaho? Okay, that's a lot. How many of you had planned to be involved in the sports program before you came or knew anything about it? Okay, wonderful. I'd like to show you this. This is data that comes from the admissions office that's actually tracked by the church. It shows the number of LDS North American 18-year-olds. And most, if not all of you, actually appeared on this line at some point when you were 18. The church tracks this data, and they show the number of kids that are 18, and they know where they are. They're members of record. And it shows something interesting. For the last, for the last several years, and you can see up until about 2011, the number of North American 18-year-olds has been steadily declining. I don't know what that means or the reason for it, but you can see the numbers right there. The second slide shows some interesting data in context of what that means with the number of people that are applying to come to BYU Idaho. This shows, if you were to look at that trend from 1999 to 2009, it's a 13.3% decrease in the number of 18-year-olds in North America. At the same time, in the face of that decline of potential college students that are members of the church, the number of BYU Idaho admissions applications has risen 37.9%. So while the number of potential LDS kids that want to come to a church school has declined, admissions to this university, the university that you get to be a part of, has risen 37.9%. What does that mean? This is kind of a complicated graph. What I want you to look at is the big fat black arrow. These statistics show that out of all of those people, that the percentage share of applications of all the church schools that comes to us from 1999 to 2009 has increased steadily every year. In fact, the admissions office returned the stat that said it's increased 59.8%. This number of, or this percentage of students has increased. The raw percentage of the share that we get is about 17.9% applicants to our school out of all of our sister schools in Hawaii and Provo, and including us. This is new offer yield. What it means is out of everybody that the university extends an offer to come to BYU Idaho, everyone has an opportunity to accept or decline that offer. This, from 2004 to 2009, shows the percentage increase of people accepting that offer. And so you can see from 52% to 61%, raw calculation says that is up to 17% increase in people accepting their offer to BYU Idaho. I don't imagine that's the only offer that the students receive, but that's what's increased. And then finally, to lay it all out for you in a story, what's happening at BYU Idaho. With the demographics showing the number of potential LDS college students in North America declining 13.3%, in the face of that, 37.9% increase in applications, 59.8% increase in the percentage share that BYU Idaho gets of those LDS North American 18-year-olds, and the level of acceptance increasing by 17.3%. So what this means really is people want to come here. The church can't possibly support every young person that wants to come to BYU Idaho here at BYU, here at the university. And so what the university is involved in right now, and you're sitting here while it happens, is every effort and every strategy and every idea and every prayer to make an opportunity for as many of these young people that can come here as we can. Now, in a minute, I'm going to ask for your comments. I'd like to have you share some thoughts, and so we're going to have some microphones. I think we've got some microphones, 4 or 5 microphones that'll be around, and I'm going to ask you some questions because I want you to think about this. The university has received approval from the church to increase our enrollment cap. So on top of all this, you can see one of the things that we need is to allow more people to come here. We need to provide more opportunities. And so eventually, we will have as many as 15,000 people per semester compared to the 11,600 that are permitted right now. And it's a phased approach, and so it'll be gradual. But that's what's going to happen. So what does that mean about the sports program? Let's see. Let me scroll past this. To provide some context, when you put this all together and you see what's happening, let's compare what you're experiencing right now. As participants in the sports program, if you were to take what we track in activities, the number of students that are blessed currently by the resources that we have, it calculates this way. Assuming some of the data that we track is as accurate as we can get it, this is some of this is just calculated. But if you take the membership of the church that's been reported and take the number of students that are currently being blessed by the resources used in the sports program right now, that represents 0.08% of the membership of the worldwide church. You're part of that 0.08% of the church's membership that is blessed by the facilities, by the resources, by the equipment, and everything that's dedicated to the sports program. So let's back out and say, well, let's talk a little bit about, that's too big of a number for us to wrap our heads around. Let's take every student that is registered in an institute someplace in the church. The 2008 recorded number for the church for institute was around 333,237 members of the church enrolled in the institute. So we take the number of people blessed by our sports program and compare it to that. That only represents 3.4% of all of the young people that are enrolled in institute. So the number of people blessed by our sports program compared to the number of people enrolled in institutes is 3.4%. And then you take all of the North American 18-year-olds, and only 15% of that is represented by our sports program in a year. We've been blessed, and this isn't to introduce some sort of love it or leave it message. It's designed to get you to think. I want you to think about why we would have this program, why we would dedicate so many resources of the church so that you can have the experience that you're having. Now, we understand a few things about our program. We understand it's not perfect. We understand that we're continually improving. We understand that we've got some things to learn. We've got some things that we need to become that we're not yet. But I want you to think about that. If you look at all the resources, even recently, that have been dedicated to the sports program, and again, this is an answer to Luke's question about this. This is context of the growth of the university. In the last five years, we've been blessed with new facilities. We've been given that South Sports Complex that has artificial surface and is for multi-use sports. We've reconditioned the stadium and resurfaced it so that more students could get more hours of play on it. We've been given a permanent skate rink, which hosts hockey and programming that can run year-round. And we're about to receive an auditorium that has a 15,000-person auditorium, but also a facility that will host many activities, including sports, with thousands and thousands of more square feet. So we're continuing to be blessed. All of this for students so that they can have an experience in the sports program. Now, to address Luke's question again, what does this mean for sports? You can see things getting bigger. You can see more people wanting to come. You can see the need for more people to come. You can see the resources we've been blessed with and will be blessed with. So what does that mean to sports? Well, if you have some perspective on it, you'll understand that means that we can't stay the same. There's no way that we can stay the same. We've got to change, and we've got to change quickly, and we've got to change, in some cases, dramatically. When President Eyring came to our university in June, he expressed an idea and said, failing to change in the university will lead to failure, but we will not fail. We have help from heaven, and we have resources that will allow us to not fail in our efforts. This is a really long way to get to the heart of what I'd like to talk with you about today. So what's our challenge? Our challenge is we need to evolve to meet the needs of our students, to meet your needs, and to meet the needs of those that are coming. Just as we expand and improve, we've got to figure out ways to create new leagues, new sports, new systems, new ways of doing things while enhancing and keeping the very best of what we have. In fact, I want to share with you some things, and these come from a survey response. Some of you may have even written these comments. If you hear your comment being written, know that it's anonymous, and I won't embarrass anybody. But the participant survey that we issue for sports allows a question that says, list any suggestion, or what would you rate highest, and what would you rate the lowest? And I thought it might be interesting to you to hear some of these responses. This one says, BYU-Idaho has, and I'll switch out the names of the programs so that those can be anonymous too, but it says, BYU-Idaho has one of the best programs in the country. Anyone who wants to participate can participate. It's well-organized and fun to be a part of. I've gained lasting friendships through this program, and it serves as a relief from academic pressures. This other one says, I love the program up here. It's meant to be an uplifting experience, and I believe that because of the rules they have and the good sportsmanship of students who participate, the quality of each individual's life is improved. Here's a good one. It says, I honestly don't think sports ever enhances my spiritual qualities. We've got a range of ideas and opinions. This one says, I enjoyed the leagues and how they taught more than just the sport. The gospel was always included, and I was able to meet a lot of people that became friends who influenced my life in different ways. I would recommend this program to anyone who and love it because they can change the way you think about things in the gospel. It can also help people make new friends. On the other hand, this one says, as Popeye said, I am who I am. Participating in this program does not make me a better person. This is no fault of the program. It's just who I am. And it goes on. You can see the range of responses. So if we've got microphones, is JP down there? Are they out there, the microphones? If I could have the guys with the mics stand up, I want to start to ask you some questions, okay? I would like to ask you, in 1 minute, as soon as I provide this context, to think and provide your response. Yesterday, I had the opportunity Tuesday, to attend a devotional luncheon with President Hall. And for those of you who will have that opportunity or may have had it, you'll see that there's a tradition where those that are there get to ask the speaker and the president some questions. And somebody asked President Clark, he said, what is the biggest challenge BYU-Idaho faces? And President Clark was very thoughtful, and he said, I think the biggest challenge is as BYU-Idaho the challenge to BYU-Idaho is to grow quickly, but not to lose our roots. To become what the Lord wants us to be and get better at what we're doing, but not fall into the trap of thinking it's about us. So if I were to return, I'd like your help. If I were to return to President Clark a recommendation from you, the participants in this program, what are the roots of the program that we can't change? Given all of the changes that we may have in leagues, in sports, in systems, and in facilities, what are the roots that, in your opinion, cannot change about the BYU-Idaho Sports Activities Program? Please, right here.
That no matter how big we get or how many students are here, that no one is excluded no matter what, no matter what skill level.
Thank you. Another recommendation. No matter how big we get, that regardless of skill level, we need to provide things for as many people as we can. Another recommendation, if I were to provide this to any of the stakeholders that can influence it, please, over here.
To make sure that we keep the Lord involved in our sports, that's pretty unique to the BYUI sporting program.
Thank you, to keep the Lord involved. So to provide as many opportunities as possible and to keep the Lord involved. Those are two great recommendations. Anybody else? Right here.
I'd say just to make sure that the students are the ones who are continually being the leaders. So they're still the coaches, they're still the directors, they're able to hold those leadership positions.
Wonderful. To keep it student-led. What else? The roots of our program that cannot change, in your opinion. We'll take one more, please, right here.
I was just gonna say to have all students know of the five guiding principles and keep our roots based on those.
Thank you. Great, great recommendation, all great recommendations. I noticed that you're getting down to the very heart of what we do and what we are that's different. Now, how many of you, I'm going to ask one more question, so my mic guys need to stay standing. How many of you notice a difference between your experience here and experience in a different program, and can you articulate what that difference is? Different times and places you've been involved in sports. Is there something different that happens here?
Simply the fact that I went to a university back in Texas that's considered a party school, and to go from there to here to feel the spirit, but not only to be a student and to lead in a sport, I'm a coach. I want to be a coach for the rest of my life, and it gives me experience that I can put on a resume that's going to be lasting. And so that's going to be the biggest difference I'm going to notice.
Wonderful. Please, right down here.
I think one of the biggest differences is just having that spirit constantly around you, kind of that spirit of Rick's that people talk about. I think that's such a big difference. I was really involved with different sports in high school, and you know, you have that mentality of like, okay, let's go rip their heads off and beat the other team. And then if you lose, like, everybody's cussing and everybody's mad. If you win, everybody gets hammered or whatever. And it's, you know, I don't come from a big Mormon community, so I guess it's a little different where I come from. But it, like, it's totally different up here. Like, you drop a pass or, I don't know, you don't swim fast enough or whatever swimmers, I don't know, you know, but like, whatever happens, you know, like, sorry guys. Like, whatever happens, like, it's okay. Like, there's, your teammates are still like, don't worry about it. And like, if somebody cusses, like, everybody gets mad at him instead of like, you know, why aren't you mad? Why aren't you going crazy right now? You know, it's like, hey, let's keep it clean. Let's stay unified. And it's that totally different mentality of like, you know, instead of getting mad or getting angry because something went wrong, it's just like, hey, let's pick it up. It's all right. And like I'm in the football program, for example, people are picking each other up off the field even though they're wearing different uniforms. Like, you'll never see that at any other college, probably.
Thank you. We don't see too many pictures of Rexburg, Idaho on the news with people flipping cars over and having sports riots, do we? Somebody else, please. We'll take one more. What have you experienced in sports programs that you've done compared to what's happened here? Let's see, in the very back. Okay, please.
My experience here has been that everybody's willing to help each other learn and grow and develop their skills, whereas back in high school, everybody was kind of dog-eat-dog, trying to be the best person. But here, someone can join the team never having experience in that sport, and by the end of the season, they can have a real idea of what they're supposed to be doing in that sport.
Thank you. You bring up an interesting point, and I think we'll talk about that. There's something different here. Elder Hales talked about it. Now, that can be a good thing and a bad thing for some people. Some people are interested in a sports program that they feel that this doesn't quite meet their needs. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit. But Elder Hales talked about the difference between the world and the programs that come from the Spirit. He says the world needs people who can keep their word, who have a code of honor, and who can finish a task and endure to the end. As Latter-day Saints, we need not look like the world. We need not entertain like the world. Our personal habits should be different. Our recreation should be different. Our concern for family will be different. And as we establish this distinctiveness firmly in our life's pattern, the blessings of heaven await to assist us. So here comes a principle that we should probably talk about today. When we talk about sports, we talk about a lot of different things, but I think like you and I, we've all had different experiences in sports growing up, different levels of intensity. In fact, it's kind of ironic that I'm speaking to you today because my beginning in organized sports was not very positive. Like a lot of little boys, I wanted to play baseball. My neighbor had brought me a baseball glove one day that he found in his garage, and he threw it to me, and we started to play catch, and pretty soon I told my mom and dad that I wanted to play Little League. And they said, that's fine. And so they took me to the tryout, and there was a tryout process where you were placed on teams. And I ended up on a team called the Hornets. And the Hornets were not a very well-regarded team in the league, probably because it was guys like me who found a glove in the garage and came out to play. But as we started to play catch one day in that first day of practice, we started to have the coach hit some balls to us. And as the coach was hitting balls to us, he'd call our names one by one and hit the ball, and we were to field the ball and to throw it in. And so he went through the players, and pretty soon I heard him call my name and said, Faye, it's your turn. And so I heard the ping of the aluminum bat, and I saw the ball coming. It was my very first practice, very first opportunity of field. Line drive that took a really, what I considered a nasty hop, and as I reached out to try to grab it, it hit me right between the nose and the lip, and split my lip open. I reached up and saw the blood, and I was too embarrassed to report my injury to my coach, and so one of the other kids said, you know, he got hit in the mouth, and so he called me to come running in, and I thought, well, I guess it's okay, that, you know, there's a grown-up here, and he'll take care of it, and he leaned down and looked at my injury, and I thought he was going to provide some counsel, but he kind of wrinkled up his brow, and he looked at it, and the only thing he said was, ugh. And I thought, well, that's not good. And that was my first experience with sports. A lot of us probably started out that way. Since that time, like you, I've found that a love of sports and played a lot of, you know, various different sports at different levels. And it can be one of the most important venues to learn some things. And so I submit that if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you'll understand that sports for you in this program can not only be a training ground, but also a proving ground. It'll be something that helps you not just understand how the Spirit works, but what your response should be. In fact, a student came to me in my office recently, and she said, I had a conversation with somebody participating in a specific area of sports, and she said, he told me point blank, I don't think Heavenly Father created this sport so that we could become closer to Christ. And she kind of talked to him, but I wanted to address that. We hear a lot of things in sports about what describes your experience in sports. We hear strength, we hear winning, we hear fun, we hear recreation, and it's all of those things. But what about spirituality? What does spirituality have to do with sports? It's not just having spiritual thoughts. It's not just having prayers. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you will have revealed to you on the court, on the pool, on the mat, in the pool, on the mat, on the field, where your reflexes need to be honed. I want to share with you something about the importance of the Spirit in your lives. Some of the most interesting and my favorite people in the world are people that you know will be the same in church as they will at their job, as they will in the store, as they will on the court. And they are who they are, and they don't ever have to apologize for it, and they get strength from it. In fact, Elder Scott recently said, spirituality yields two fruits in conference, if you remember what he said. Those two fruits are inspiration and power. Inspiration to know what to do, and power to be able to do it. If you can learn anything that's going to benefit you in your life, that it's in the heat of competition, if it's in the heat of conflict and intensity, it's so that your reflexes allow you to be that same person in all of those spots. I'd like to share as we close here a matrix with you that talks about this. And this is borrowed from President Clark's matrix of high love, high standards. In a program that requires much of us, we get stretched and we get built. Now, if our program has low challenge, it's not fun. We don't get to compete as intensely as we'd like to. If we have a program that has high challenge but low spirituality, the intensity sometimes turns into emotion, and emotion that creates negativity. Now, I know we love to play with emotion. It's important to play with intensity. But if you're out of balance and you have high challenge and maybe even I submit high emotion and low spirituality, it's not the best combination. We won't even talk about this low challenge, high spirituality. Some of you might call that seminary or T-ball. But I want to correct you on something. Spirituality is not just an output variable. It's not how you appear to be operating at a church school. Spirituality is the degree to which the very best of you is being exhibited on and off the field of competition. And so if we were to have a program that's dedicated, using these resources we've talked about for so few people, it would be one of high challenge and high spirituality, where emotion doesn't supplant spirituality and performance. In fact, we all like to kind of poke fun at athletes behaving badly, and I don't do that to judge these people. They're very intense professionals and individuals. But several of these things point to incidences that display what happens when emotion overcomes the very best of who you are, the very best of what you can be. Very talented athlete, the 2009 US Open semifinals. After losing a point when she was called for a foot fault, she cursed and threatened the judges. My favorite is one in the bottom right. You can see the reaction. A day after the match, she was fined $10,000 and said she could face additional discipline. Y'all remember this one? Zinedine Zidane. This was the last game. It was the World Cup in 2006, I believe. He and the French player exchanged words throughout the match, but when Zidane ran up in front of him, he'd had enough, he ran up in front of him, headbutted him, was given the red card, left the game, his final game, in disgrace. A moment of indiscretion by a very gifted and talented athlete. This one, I asked Luke if this was appropriate for an afternoon side. Mike Tyson biting off the ear of Evander Holyfield. This was probably, when you were a lot younger, the 1997 WA heavyweight bout. In a bizarre turn of events, he spits out his mouthpiece and bites off the ear of Evander Holyfield, gets disqualified. And we can go on and we can go on and on and on. In fact, there's some that I'll just scroll through here as we end. Did you see all those baseball ones? I'm sorry, guys, it's all the ones I could find. Do not let emotion overcome your spirituality. Your spiritual reflexes need to be such that they do not do that. I'd like to share a story with you that I experienced, that I learned from, that I want you to learn from as we close, with regard to what spirituality is. It's not the number of hymns we sing. It's not the number of spiritual thoughts we have, or morning sides or afternoon sides. It's the very best of what the Lord intends for you to be as His sons or daughters, on and off the field, because in that is power. A couple years ago, I went to a soccer game with my young sons. We were watching my daughter, but two of my little boys were off to the side and they were playing. And I was kind of turned watching the game and watching my sons. And they were just little guys. I think they were 4 and 3 at the time. And I looked over and I noticed that I saw my 3-year-old son running in circles and another little boy running around after him behind him, just kicking him in the shins as hard as he could. And then behind him was my 4-year-old, and they were all kind of going in the circle, and I watched and watched, and finally I stood up and walked over, and as I did, you know, the little boy that was kicking my boy ran off. And as I realized what happened, I walked up to my son, and my 4-year-old son, as he was watching this play out, and I got down in his face, and I said, "Calvin, when someone's beating up your little brother, you hit him in the nose." And just as I was making a smacking sound, I looked up as a mother was walking by, and I still had my BYU Idaho Activities shirt on. And so I kind of stood up and brushed myself off, and I was still upset that he hadn't intervened on behalf of his brother, and so I'd left and spent the rest of the game just watching the boys to make sure this little bully didn't come back, and if he did, that my son, you know, took care of him. The very next soccer match, I was prepared to go to the game, but I wasn't thinking anything of the soccer match. I thought, if that little bully's there, I'm going to see what my boys do. And so we went to this match, and I was watching the game. I looked over at the playground, and sure enough, there he was. And sure enough, he was chasing the 3-year-old around, and sure enough, my 4-year-old was trying to intervene without getting beat up, but he wasn't doing it. And so I was upset. I let emotion take over, and I stood up, and I started walking toward the playground. And as I did, I caught the eye of this little boy that was harassing my son. And I looked at him, and I got closer and closer and closer, and realized as I got closer how tiny he was. And I finally was up over him. By the time I got over him, I realized I was frowning at him, and he was just shrinking. And just as I got there, I realized how ridiculous it was that this full-grown man was standing over this little bully. And so I grabbed my composure, I got down on my knees, and I said, "Hey, buddy, I think they just want to play with you if you let them play with you." And he just kind of frowned, and he stalked off. And just as I was doing that, his older sister came over, and she said, "Oh, that's my brother Jackson." And I said, well, where are you from?" And she said, "Well, we just moved here. We just moved here from Oklahoma or someplace." And she told me about how they'd moved, and it sounded like they'd moved around a lot and stuff. And it dawned on me, the Spirit told me, this little boy that you were calling a bully has probably been moved from place to place. He just got here. He doesn't know friends, and he's out of his element. And so later, we had a moment of teaching with my sons, and I talked to them about how Dad had gotten it wrong, about how your first reaction is not to hit someone. And I think I went through the motions again, like I did on the playground that day. But that there are more important things that Heavenly Father has for us, and talk to them about that, so that the next time their weapon against Jackson the bully was to say, "Hey, do you want to play? Can we help you out?" and to make friends with them. I pray that the spirituality that you understand about our program, you don't misinterpret it for the number of spiritual thoughts or the how many times you have to sing a hymn or what does the student director telling me about leadership and reading from the scriptures. I invite you to take advantage of it. I pray that the very best of what you are and the very best of who you are can stay with you in all times, in all things, in all places. And you're blessed to be in the program, and we're blessed to have you in our program. And I share that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.